Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Welcome back to the Black and Gold NFL Recap, where we take a look back at the week that was in the NFL, get you all caught up on all the news, and look at what is coming up for you guys this week. Playoffs finally here. My name is Matt Searles. I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, Fred, Thang, and Sabo. What's going on, guys?
Matt, all I got to say is, playoffs? You want to talk about playoffs? Yes,
hell yeah,
I want to talk about playoffs. And while we're at that, with the holidays, get to talk last week. Hope everybody had a good New Year, and I doubt too many people had a great as Christmas as I had, being there at Heinz Field with a direct shot to see Antonio Brown come across. But hopefully, you had a good one. Nonetheless, Sabo, what's up with you on this New Year?
Yeah, Happy New Year to everyone. I know we're a little bit late and everything. It was fantastic. I watched Mariah Carey for New Year's. Everything. But
the best thing was, for sure.
Yeah, that Cleveland game, that was sudden death, not just... sudden death. People could have died because of that game and everything. And, well, I'm going to say start Landry Jones week. And everything. Also, there's fish sandwiches at Pimani's this weekend until after the game, so they're not going to have any fish there and everything. And for Mike Tomlin and Cowher and who else was it? Bradshaw and everything. I'm going to go Matt. I'm going to be a cheerleader. Go Freddie. Go Steelers. Be a cheerleader too. That's probably why we don't have cheerleaders for the Steelers or something like that, because they'd probably stand behind Tomlin and go Coach T.
It would be an interesting dynamic to the game for sure. All right, guys, so quick little rundown of what we're going to bring to you all today. We're, of course, going to talk playoffs, playoff picture, how it shaped up, talk wild card games, who we think is going to win each one, break them down a little bit for you guys, talk predictions for Super Bowl, and kind of get everyone caught up on all the injury news and a lot of news coming out of the NFL this week. At any time, if anyone wants to call in, the number is 347-850-8581. Call in any time, talk Steelers versus Dolphins, talk NFL playoffs, talk whatever you would like to NFL-related. All right, so, Freddie, I know we did get a little bit of an injustice because we missed the show last week because of the New Year. But like you said, you were there at the Steelers versus the Ravens game. Was this the best game you've ever seen in person before we move on to the Steelers versus the Browns game? I mean, I know you definitely got some stuff to share about this one.
When we first got there, they didn't know how many fans would be there being at Christmas. And when they announced the attendance, and as I said, Dan, January. There's different ways. Clubs can announce attendance different ways. But Art Rooney Jr., he insists on doing it by what the turnstiles are. Because you can kind of fudge the numbers and make it look like there's more, but he insists, and it was over 66,000. The place was jacked up from when the guys first took the field for warm-ups with those, when those color rush uniforms were the best I've ever seen. By the way, I wish they could make them the regular ones. But the towels were going the whole time. They, like I said, they played, for people that don't know, that they play Renegade, the song, the stick song Renegade, in the fourth quarter when the defense takes the field for when needing a key stop. And they did. That's when the Steelers got their three and out. And then they played it a second time. I think they almost jinxed them because then the Ravens drove down and took the lead. But I even said this, and you see if Ben made a reference to this week. The last drive when the Steelers were getting it might have been when they got inside the 20, Ben was waving his hands for the crowd to quiet down. I said, guys, you got to be quiet. They were going nuts.
Uh-huh.
And Ben even mentioned this week because I love it, but when we have the ball, you got to be quiet. So the atmosphere was over the top. And I relayed, and I said, where our seats were. We're right about down the end line in the end zone where the Steelers were heading in the fourth quarter. So we got to see all three of them and got a great shot. Well, if you had eyes, you had a great shot of it. Me, for some reason, being too old or something, I could not see Antonio Brown stick the ball across. But leave it to my daughter, Nicole. She saw it as soon as he did it. She goes, he's in, he's got it. And I was like, I didn't see it. So I'm waiting for the official to signal. And I swear, like, time froze. And it took like an hour. I'm like, where is he? And finally, when you look at the replay, it took like about a split second, and he put the hands up. But it seemed
right.
Froze. But I could go on forever. But I'll just suffice. I described it to somebody else. I said the most fun I ever had with my clothes on. So I'll leave it at that. Just phenomenal. Best game I could ever imagine. Best Christmas present. Ever wish for.
Yeah, man. If you were gonna pick a game to go to this year so far, that definitely would have been the one to go to. Sounds like you had a blast, man. I'm glad you had a good Christmas there. Great Christmas present from our Steelers. And yeah, I did see what you were talking about with Ben waving his arms, trying to get everyone to quiet down. And he did actually kind of issue a request to Steeler Nation this week for everyone to just kind of be quiet when they're in offense. Let them work. Don't make too much noise. Make all the noise you want when they're – yeah, right. Make all the noise you want when the – I almost said the Ravens. When the Dolphins are on offense, but just be nice and quiet. Let Ben communicate when they're on offense. It's funny because last year when I went to the Steelers-Ravens game at home, and I'm yelling my brains out trying to be loud when the Ravens have the ball – and there's a Ravens fan, like, a few seats down from me. And then she leans over, and she's like, can you not be so loud? And I just kind of looked at her. I was like, no.
You just like to be leaned over.
Yeah, she shushed me a few times, too. It was an interesting dynamic. So be nice and loud when the Dolphins have the ball. Steelers have it. All right, guys, so quickly,
can I talk to Fred just
move
for
on.
One second? Because he was saying that was
the
best game ever at Heinz Field. Okay, do you think that was better than the Cleveland game that we played?
What was that? You know why
they took so long in the Baltimore game, too? Because they talked to security, and they said, if we don't say this is a touchdown, are you going to get the referees out without getting killed and everything? That's what took 1 hour.
Did they tell Madden that? Because he said that's what happened on the Immaculate Reception.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what you were referencing.
No.
Sebo, you know, I was thinking how excited you would have been if instead of reaching that ball across, Antonio Brown had just ran out of bounds for you right there.
So,
I know how much you like that player.
He was trying to stop the clock. He ran out of bounds. He went for the ball
right,
instead.
All right, guys, so moving right along, quick recap on the Steelers-Browns game, thoughts on this, and then we're going to jump right into playoff football. But like we always do, definitely want to get you guys' thoughts. Steelers winning it at home over the Browns in a semi-meaningless game, but at the same time, it feels a lot better going into the playoffs on a seven-game win streak than it does coming off of a loss to the Browns, for sure. So that kind of helps you with your momentum, gets you going in. You get out of there relatively healthy. A little scared with Javon Hargrave at one point, thinking he had a concussion, but he came back into the game, not listed on injury report, looks to be good to go. But, Fred, you do a lot of the breakdown for Behind the Steel Curtain. If anyone doesn't know, Fred is 58 Steel on Behind the Steel Curtain, so he does a lot of game breakdown. So any questions about the ins and outs of the game or, you know, specifics, be sure to direct to him. Feel free to call in. Again, the number is 347-850-8581. But, Freddie, I definitely want to get your opinion on this one and your thoughts on Landry Jones, of course, being the big story. Not going to spend too much time here because we're going to talk playoffs, but definitely want to get your opinion, buddy. What did you think? What did you see?
definitely early on, it looked like just the Browns were going to just load the box and blitz and not let them run and pressure Landry Jones. And early on, they were creaming him. I think Finney was caught a little bit at center. Even, I don't know who it was that said, but it was Pouncey or somebody said that Finney and Fitz Toussaint, and you don't realize how important the backs are in communication. They were not on the same page, and that cost them a little bit. But even if the offense struggled, I wasn't going to be that disappointed knowing that they weren't playing any of the big three in Pouncey. What got me was when the defense was struggling early. But the exciting things, Sean Davis making another, he got a sack, and that recovery of the fumble on the high snap going over him. And here's the thing, as much as you go, well, we don't want to lose, and their defense had most of the starters in there, when you listen to players talk, human nature, that they weren't taking the game as serious. Even Ryan Shazier, who, by the way, shouldn't point too many fingers, he missed. He went back to that. His bugaboo is missing tackles. If he doesn't miss tackles, he could be one of the best inside linebackers. But he missed a lot of tackles. But he said the players were really – a lot of the players, maybe the younger guys, he didn't say, who were buying into this being a meaningless game. So they just didn't have the same intensity. But what I noticed in the end, you have to be – even though it's the Browns, a little impressed that – look like the Browns are going to win it. And Jarvis Jones, of all people, causes a fumble and knocks away. Then they go to overtime. The ticky-tack, to say the least, penalty on Mike Mitchell. And if you didn't hear the audio clip of him debating the face mask penalty, it's hilarious because he screams like he saw a mouse. But then he's very politely saying, sir, please look at it again. And it was ticky. Gives him a first down at about the 2-yard line, and the defense said, we're just not going to let you score. So I think they showed that they could rise up. You want it a little different than that, but I take out of it, when they had to play, they did. And one of the biggest, Bud Dupree, even though he's had some sacks going, most of his sacks, and I did a breakdown, have been because he's hustling, and which is great, and he's fast. He actually won around the corner. Now, granted, it was Cameron Irving, but he won around the edge and on his strip sack when he knocked the ball out. One of the first times we've seen Bud do that. He's getting better, and when he could start doing that with his athleticism, that's when you could make your hay as a pass rusher. Because when you could start winning around the edge, now they got to worry about that, and he can do other moves. When we were watching with Christina, I said, look at Bud corner. He won around the edge, so that was a big thing. D'Angelo being able to step up, get the touchdown on the reception with him breaking the tackle and get in, the rushing touchdown, that showed me that he still can be a big contributor. It was important for him to show, coming back from his knee issues, that he was fine. I just believe you can't. It's not always you can turn around, but they showed just about that. When they needed to win, they could win. Landry Jones, too, rough start, but he made some nice throws, and he looked, I hate to say it, but in that overtime drive where you need at least a field goal, he looked cool, calm, and collected, and let him and a throw to Kobe Hamilton. I'm just saying, I don't know that I would be that disappointed if the Steelers kept him as a backup next year. That's all I'm saying. I don't know that, you know, he ain't going to start, but just, as you said, finish on a win. So I was concerned a little bit about their run defense, but, again, they had some guys out. McCarter Max was out again, and as you mentioned, Hargreaves. So finished on a win. That's the most important thing. Not worried at all. Throw a lot of that game out. The players didn't take it seriously. Some of them, they didn't. So, Sable, what do you think?
I think Landry Jones floats a beautiful pass in and everything like that. And that's all he does is float the ball in. But maybe Cleveland will throw a lot of money at him and try to sign him as a everything. The play of the game to me was Darius Haywood-Bey, all three of them. Made that great play when he ran the guy down. I mean, that was just – he's so fast. Anyone else probably would have – he was hustling, like, really well. Well, you said about Bud Dupree, too. He was bending. He got that edge, just like you said. He was bending the edge, and that's the first time I've seen it in a while and everything. I'm still worried about our defensive line next couple games we go. But I think Mike Mitchell forgot when he was talking about that. The running back is allowed to stiff arm you and everything. He's allowed to, but you can't grab his face mask. I don't care what he does to you and everything. Yeah. The two wrongs don't make a right, so I don't know what he was thinking. But he was very polite and everything, and, you know, but sir, and, you know, oh, my goodness, everything like that. That was, but... That's it. He still got a 7-game winning streak.
He could have pulled in a Keep to leave and gone and ripped the whistle off of the ref. I'm not sure that would have been the best choice, but you know, apparently it's on a flag or anything. But good point with Dupree on that sack. Also, guys, him and Jarvis Jones. I mean, beating Joe Thomas inside. For a sec, I mean, that was just something. I'm used to seeing Jarvis Jones run up the arc like there's a flood coming, but for him to make a move on Joe Thomas like that was something else, for sure. Even though, you know, we don't expect him to be a huge contributor on this stretch, but like you guys said, get a win, get in there, move on to the Miami Dolphins. So, unless you guys have any more thoughts on that, let's just jump right into the playoff schedule if that works for you guys.
Yeah,
sounds good to me. I did like that art running up the arc with a flood. That was a good one, Matt.
Right off the old cuff. That's what they almost paid me for. All right, so first game of Saturday tomorrow, we have the game that everyone just kind of wants to get out of the way, it seems. But for me, I'm going to be tuning in because, one, it's playoff football. Two, it's really just playoff football, and I know neither one of these teams have a great chance to beat the Patriots, but, you know, I can dream and I can hope. So, Raiders going into Houston, taking on the Texans. No Derek Carr, no Matt McGloin. Connor Cook, fourth-round pick out of Michigan State, I believe, making his first start in the playoffs on the road against a top defense without his left tackle in Donald Penn. It's going to be a tough task for sure. I want to know what you guys thought. Should the Raiders just, instead of getting hotels for the week, spend them for a month because they're going to be right back there in Houston for the Super Bowl? Is that what we're all agreeing on right here?
Matt, yeah. If I was them, I don't know that I'd be, you know, hanging out on Priceline that much. I think they should get just their one-way ticket. Or, no, their round trip because they're going to be headed back, as you said, kind of like, I think it's appropriate almost in that, as you said, the first game. Like, do you want to get it out of the way? It doesn't look to be a very exciting game. Evenly matched, probably, because I think kind of the weaknesses on each team kind of cancel out. Oakland now, I mean, their defense all year has not been real good. People, you know, about Khalil Mack, one of the best edge rushers in the game. I put him right behind Von Miller. He's right up there in that class and with Bruce Irvin. But having said that, that's about it they have on defense. The Raiders were 26th in yards allowed and 20th in points. Even with Khalil Mack, they only had to get this right. With Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin, they had 25 sacks on the year. That's it. And I think Khalil had about half of them. So they don't have much of a defense. Well, Derek Carr, they've been outscoring people. But they can't do that now. They went into, admittedly, Denver, one of the better defenses, only scored 6 points last week. And Houston has a great defense. I honestly just don't see the Raiders scoring enough to even compensate for Houston's horrible offense. I think Houston took a blow losing Tom Savage, believe it or not. I think I'd rather have him in there than Osweiler. Maybe Osweiler's season now is a shot at redemption, but I honestly just think the weaknesses match up. Houston at home, the Raiders aren't going to score, and all they got to do is, you know, get a few points. I don't see the Raiders scoring over 10 points. If I had to put a score on, I picked it like 20-9. I just think without Carr, now that you mentioned, without Penn, their tackles, either they could run the ball a little bit because they had that giant offensive line. They're not going to be able to do that much. I just think it's a shame because I'd like to see what Carr could do in the playoffs. I think the Raiders would have made the playoffs a lot more exciting. But it's, you know, so not that I'm a Raider fan, but I think it would have been more exciting all around football. I just think they don't have enough, and they can't win with on their defense alone. So I got Houston taking it. What do you think, Sabo?
Yeah, I would have liked to see Carr play against New England too, and everything like this. This is going to be the quarterback battle of the century, Osweiler versus Cook, and everything. That's it's in the game. And everything. I would have rather had, just like you did, Tom Savage. The only thing I know it can't end in a, but if it would end in a tie, well, it can't, I know, but I'm hoping that they can put both teams together to play New England. So we have the Houston Raiders or Oakland Texans that, and have them go up and play New England, because that's the only chance. Either one, unless they beat up Brady, one of them. So maybe, let's see, who has a better pass rusher? I'd rather have Mac. Brady maybe can hurt him or something like that, or make him uncomfortable. No, I can't say that and everything. I have to go with Houston, because if they score, would you have 10 points, Freddie? That seems like a lot and everything. I don't know. I got to go with Houston.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, this is a Houston team that played the Raiders extremely close down to the wire when they met earlier in the season. That was with Derek Carr. And by no means is this a vote of confidence in the Texans as a contender for, you know, a Super Bowl or an AFC Championship or anything like that. In my mind, the Texans have been winning all year long without a quarterback. They've been winning kind of in spite of Osweiler. He hasn't really helped them get to where they are right now. And so this kind of works out perfectly for them, because the Raiders have been winning because of their quarterback. They cannot win, in my mind, without, you know, putting up those big, you know, 25, 30-plus points a week. So it just rookie quarterback, first start on the road, in the playoffs, no left tackle. It's against the top defense. I don't see it matching up. But at the same time, it would not surprise me at all to start the third quarter and have this game be, 3-0 or, 6-3 or something like that until one defense makes the play. That wouldn't surprise me one bit. So, with that,
I want
to say, do we all take Houston this one? You want a safety?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. That might make this game a little more exciting. But who knows? I mean, sometimes the games where you don't expect it, because Connor Cook is a complete unknown. He did throw a touchdown against the Broncos last week. So, you just never know. That's why I'm going to tune in for sure. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen for sure. But make it a sweep, three of us for the Texans. That would mean that they go into Foxborough and take on the Patriots in the divisional round. And what a challenge that would be for Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Not really. So,
just to correct you, though, they wouldn't necessarily be the ones to go face the Patriots, because if the Dolphins win, it would be them. Just saying.
Right.
Just
right. But
Fred, we're
on a Steelers show right now. Don't do that. It's the black and gold NFL recap, not the aqua and orange or whatever their colors are. All right, before we get a bunch of angry callers in here, let's move right along to the late Saturday game, which is the Giants and the Packers. Is that right? Is that the Saturday one?
No.
Detroit. Yep, Detroit going into Seattle Saturday night. A game definitely, much better quarterbacks than this one. You got Matt Stafford going into Seattle, taking on Russell Wilson, who apparently is getting healthier. Might play this game without the knee brace. He says he's feeling faster, he's feeling quicker. Might do without it this week, which, they could use, because they are going to need some offense now. They have not had much of a run game. Fred, or Steve, do you guys know who the leading rusher for the Seattle Seahawks is right now?
Oh, on the year? I don't know.
Rolls? No.
It's Christian Michael.
He's not on the team right now.
He's not on the Seattle Seahawks, but he's their leading rusher. They are missing Marshawn Lynch big time. They have had something like 16 or 17, some high number up there. Different guys carry the ball for them this year. It is just all over the place. So they could definitely use some legs from Russell Wilson. A healthy Russell Wilson would be a dangerous thing. But at the same time, I know they're not a horrible defense now, but without Earl Thomas, do they really have a chance? I mean, Matt Stafford can get hot at any time. He can put up points. It's not a bad Lions team. It's a much better Lions team than we would have thought. This is a much harder game to pick in mind than the earlier game. So I'm going to throw this one right to you, Fred. Who do you got and why?
Yeah, it is a different team without Earl Thomas. Their defense still played. Depending on how you go by, they were, towards the top in fewest points allowed. I don't believe that the Patriots led the league in fewest points allowed. I don't want to say that so many times, but sick enough already. But Seattle was right there. They're missing something. It's still not quite the same. The same team without him. They were third in points allowed. So still right there. The point you brought up about it's Christian Michael leading the team in rushing. Besides, it's not just the back. I think Rawls is a good enough back. Their offensive line is atrocious. They are horrible. So if they had Marshawn Lynch, sure, I think it would help them a little bit. It wouldn't make a difference. What they missed early in the year was Russell Wilson. He said hurt. Now he's playing. He's healthier. I don't know if that's enough with their defense being a little bit less somewhat it used to be. But against Detroit, it is. Detroit, when you talk about backing into the playoffs, I don't buy that phrase a lot. Because if you won, you won. You won enough to get in, you won enough to get in. But Detroit, this is backing in. They lost their last three games. And going into their home, their last game against the Packers, with the Redskins already losing, they already knew that they had at least a bye. And they kept it close for half, but the Green Bay blew them out. Detroit, still smoke and mirrors. They got Matt Stafford, as you said, who I buy into him. He's fantastic, but he can't do it alone. And not only that, their defense, if any of you guys ever look at Football Outsiders, I don't know how they do. They do all these formulas and stuff, but they look deeper into statistics and go by average and who you're playing against. Detroit, by Football Outsiders, had the 32nd ranked defense. They were in the middle of the pack as far as points allowed. They don't have anything on defense. Seattle, with another loss to their offense, wide receiver Tyler Lockett is done for the year. What they did do is sign Devin Hester, who the Ravens had cut a few weeks back. I don't know if that'll be enough to give him a boost in the return game. He didn't do much. But I think Seattle with Russell Wilson at home, too much for Detroit. Detroit had a nice year. They got into the playoffs. I think they have some chance to build on that. Gave us enough reason to say Jim Bob Cooter enough times. But they just Seattle – too much. I think they still have enough. Just having Russell Wilson with enough of those guys on defense, with Richard Sherman, is too much for the Lions. I got to go with them. Probably like something like 23-13 or 16 or something like that. What do you think, Sable?
I hope Detroit loses just so Cooter can get a head coaching job somewhere. Anything. So if he's out of it real quick. The only way Detroit's winning, remember we said it was in the fourth quarter. They came back and won all these games. But
right.
This is a team that hasn't beaten a playoff team all year, I don't think. Any team that's in the playoff, I don't think they beat a one. Like you said, Seattle, I thought Rawls for Seattle was their best running back and everything. I don't know what happened to him. I guess he got injured and everything. And the other guy they have, you know how I butcher names? His name is like Matt Probst, but that was the guy from Survivor. So that's not him. It's like P-R-O-I-S-E or something like that. I thought I was going to go with Russell Wilson being their number one running back, their number one rusher and everything. I got to go with Seattle at home. I don't care they're lose. They don't have Earl Thomas. I got to go with Seattle. I don't think Detroit's ready for this and everything like that.
Oh,
I know they got a
yes,
great.
Yes, but you go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I gotta go with Seattle.
All right. So you were right on. Detroit has not beaten a playoff team this season. I just double checked that for you. And the last three losses come to Giants, Dallas, and Packers, and those were all pretty sound. I was honestly thinking about taking Detroit in this game because I'm not buying the Seahawks. You know, I'm not really buying either one of these teams as contenders, and that's kind of in my mind what the wild card round is for. Get out with the pretenders. Let's get into the divisional round and the good games that might not happen with the Texans or the Raiders getting through, but this one's tough. You know, for the Lions to win, I think they would need to do something like Seattle did in their, I think it was Pete Carroll's first playoff victory with the Seahawks when they played the Saints and that Marshawn Lynch earthquake run and they were the underdogs. I think they would need something crazy like that to happen. But, man, I wanted to pick them, but looking at those last three losses, looking at who they beat this year, I'm going to go with you guys. Let's make it another sweep and take the Seahawks in this one. So, moving right along now, the game that we all want to talk about for sure, Steelers versus Miami. Miami Dolphins coming into Pittsburgh taking on our Steelers at, I believe it's 1:05 on Sunday. That's the time that a lot of people wanted, time that the coaches wanted, keep the preparation schedule the same. It's time to get a little revenge on those Dolphins. After they embarrassed you, they hurt your quarterback, they ran for, it makes me nauseous. They ran for 200 yards on you. That's just not what the Steelers do. But now you got them in your house. You got a chance to revenge that game. Is it going to work out in our favor, Fred? Are the Steelers winning this game?
Yeah, and let me just clarify earlier when I said about, you know, you said the Texans will be going to New England. I was just trying to point out nothing's been done yet. So, in the unlikely event that the Dolphins win, they would be going to New England. But I was just trying to point out that they go by the seeds, and the lowest, New England being number one, gets the lowest winning seed from the wild card round. That's all I was trying to say. Looking at the Dolphins, one thing that you mentioned about Detroit, you know, not beating any team that got to the playoffs. Now, the Dolphins have, but they only beat one playoff team, and that was the Steelers. They again, have benefited from a relatively weak schedule, and part of that is because they play the teams in their division twice, being the Bills twice and the Jets twice. And, of course, they lost to New England twice. So, I give them credit. A lot of the Dolphins fans I saw on their website are like, oh, nobody's giving us respect. Like, respect or anything. I just don't – allowing that anything can happen. When you look at how the Steelers look now versus how they look in week six when we play the Dolphins, and a lot of things change, and just the least of who's not there. We didn't have Cam Hayward then. It was the first game. And they were still trying to figure out how do we rotate the defensive linemen, and they got it figured out. They got that. Now I don't like that Ricardo Matthews is out because he's been a good rotational guy. But LT Walton has stepped up big, and Tua's going to be there. And Hargrave is playing very well at the end of the season. Third thing, Sean Davis wasn't playing. Ryan Shazier wasn't in that game. They were doing a lot of things. For the Dolphins, they had their first game with their offensive line healthy that game. And now Mike Pouncey, who's a fantastic center, some people may be better than his brother, he's out. The Dolphins don't have Tannehill, and I don't know that I'm still not sold on him. He's been a little pack, but he can move around a lot better and scramble, and he made a few plays buying time. Matt Moore, good backup. But he's not going to be able to buy time like Tannehill. Both of the Dolphins' starting safeties are out. And now Byron Maxwell, who you can debate whether or not he's the best cover corner, Brandon Marshall doesn't think so if you saw him earlier this week, he's probably out. So just looking at that, the Steelers have more of the guys back than the Dolphins do. And when you look at the way they ranked and performed, the Steelers, again, by the Football Outsiders, finished as like the fifth overall team. And on defense, the 11th ranked defense. The Dolphins, 19th. And on offense, again, the Steelers were ranked eighth. Eighth rushing, eighth passing. The Dolphins on defense, not that 14th, but 16th against the rush, 15th against the pass, or 17th against the pass. Just think about it. Then the first playoff game that Le'Veon Bell is playing for the Steelers with A.B. and Ben. Our offensive line is playing its best football this time of year. If you take out the game against the Browns, because they gave up four sacks. That was part of it with Finney being in there, part of it, Landry Jones being in there, part of it, the protection. Before that, they had given up 17 sacks on the year in 15 games. They're playing fantastic. The way we ran the ball against the Ravens, 120 yards, like like going tomorrow, Ben was barely touched against the Ravens. Their offensive line is playing fantastic. And the Dolphins, as much as you hear about Sue and he's a beast inside, they were 30th in the league in rushing yards allowed and 32nd, dead last, 4.8 yards per carry. Their defense is long. To me, I watched what the Ravens did to them. I went back and looked at the film. I don't think any of Joe Flacco's passes went over 10 yards. It was all these paper cuts, passing down the field. They passed like 47 times. They could not stop it. And then when they tried to play a little man, they had Perriman on a crosser, which, by the way, that was both DeMarcus Ayers, how he scored his touchdown last week on the crossing route, and the fourth down play on a crossing route. Haley knows how to use them. They hit Perriman, the Ravens did against him, and he took it like 57 yards for a touchdown. To me, I would, if I was in, Bell ran in his limited carries against him the first time. He had a good average, like 5 yards per carry. People were asking, why didn't we run the ball more? I looked at the game. So many self-inflicted wounds. They get a holding penalty. Ben to an interception. They couldn't get into that rhythm. I would honestly do the short passing, go no huddle, pass, work Bell in running, and not only will their defense not be able to stop them, if we can jump on them, that in itself will help take Joseph Ajayi out of the game. If they fall behind where they can't run the ball, because he's so great, he's a fantastic back. He runs hard. He runs physical. So he can do some damage on us. I really think our defensive run defense is going to be much better. Mike Mitchell, I saw him tweet out today. They asked him, did that game, do you still think about that game? He goes, of course you do. He goes, if you don't, you're an idiot. He goes, we got our butts handed to us. They're going to be ready. So I just think you go attack them. The only way I see maybe is if they get some kind of special team thing. But nobody logically thinks that Ben and AB and Bell at home is going to lose to the Dolphins. If they do, then maybe the Primanti brothers will put the fish sandwich on special all week. I don't know, because they took it off the menu, but. I don't know. I got it like 30-16. I just don't see, unless we shoot ourselves in the foot, the Dolphins have no business hanging on the field with us. All due respect, they got in the playoffs. Jason, I think, is a good coach. He's got them in the right direction. There's just no way. They shouldn't even be, not last-minute heroics. They shouldn't take that. We're better in every area. What do you think, Safo?
I don't know if I'm going to – my dad always taught me to play with the strengths of your team and everything like that. So should we go with the Steelers' strengths against Miami's strengths? I don't care what Miami can do. Do worry about their running back got 205 yards against us. Now, I know we didn't have Hayward and everything like that, but 205 yards, I mean, if they're trying to do payback, maybe this is the reason, but our defensive line, I mean, two, it's not going to be 100%. Matthews, I don't even think he's going to play that much. So what do you got? You got Walton, McCullers, Hargrave. Might have a little bit of a concussion because he left the field. That defensive line. So we're going to have to be doing a shooting the linebackers in the gap. And you said Shazier's missing a lot of tackles and everything. But the one thing, Miami has the fifth longest losing streak. They haven't won a game in the playoff in 26 years. That's one of the worst.
Wow.
You said their defense... They have the 28th total defense by yards, I thought, 28th or 29th. And they have the 18th worst scoring defense. They give up the points and everything. Bad run defense for them. Their total defense is bad and everything like that. They don't have the cornerbacks. Now, if Maxwell, he's not going to play. They're missing... Like you said, two safeties. that's five starters out there. Their number one quarterback. I know they got a rusher in Wake. That's all he can do. But you have the quarterback now. Here's what it's going to be. It's going to be Ben against Matt Moore. Matt Moore, to me, is the second worst quarterback in this playoff. Cook's probably the worst and everything. If they start running the ball, I'm a little bit scared. I think Jarvis Landry, to me, would be on my all pro bowl team and everything. I think he's next to Fitzgerald the most complete wide receiver. He can block, and he's going to block for Ajayi and everything like that. That scares me a little. Their back seven is terrible. We were talking about that. They're young. They've never been in this situation. They're coming up. The big plus is, guess what? Ben's at home. We have the two best skilled players in the NFL. And Bell, they're finally riding Bell. Haley understood, we're going to win, and we're going to run Bell. We're going to pass to him. We're going to make Bell the focal point of this and everything. And you got the best wide receiver catching the ball. I can't see them losing, but I'm the guy that said they couldn't lose to Philadelphia too or and everything. But I just can't see them losing and everything like this. If it's going to be 15 degrees, so you're going to have to run the ball. I hope Haley doesn't get tricky and try to throw the ball. That's going to be like throwing a brick and everything. I mean, maybe you take one shot to Hay Bay going deep, Darius Haywood Bay, and everything, hit everything short, make it hit AB short, let him run a little bit, hit Bell out of the backfield, make it just like a running play and everything short, hit Bell and everything. I just can't. Their defensive line's good. Our offensive line is better. I can't see anywhere they have anything better than us, except their defensive line is better than our defense. And that's what I'm worried about. Our defensive line stopping the run. And I don't think they will. Even if they, let's say they cut it in half and only give them 100 yards, that's still a lot. Are they that much better? Shazier didn't play in the first game and everything like that. And that's when Haywood was injured and everything. He didn't play and everything. But like I said, Shazier's going to have to be hitting those gaps. You're saying he's missing a lot of tackles. I've been seeing that. He could break some. If they take the air out of the ball and start running against it, it's going to be a long day. But Ben at home, I really can't see them losing and everything like that. I don't know what I'd do if they'd lose. I'd never eat at Pimani's again or something like that. I can't see them losing and everything. But they've done it this year. They've lost a game that I think. But this is a completely different animal now that you're playing in the playoffs. Miami's never been there. They were ready to fire their whole team, it looks like. They got rid of their whole offensive line. They turned it around. Now you're losing your quarterback. You don't have a secondary. This would be the biggest upset, I think, since we lost to San Diego before we got in the Super Bowl and everything. If they lose this, I can tell you Haley's not getting a head coaching job. If they,
he might get a cheerleading job, though.
I got to go with the Steelers. And the one thing they haven't, you know, what did Haley say? We're going to score 30 points a game. They've only scored 30 points five times this year. So what's that? Real quick, that's a little bit over 33% and everything. I think they'll score 33 points, but they'll score 30 points, but because of the cold. If we score early, take them out of the game, control the time of possession. Don't let that running back run for 200 yards. If you give them 100, that's going to hurt us and everything in the cold. But I think the Steelers have too many weapons and everything. And their defense has really gotten better since the three rookies started playing, and then finally they gave up on Jarvis Jones. When Harrison started, that's when this team got better. When they brought Dupree in, that's when this team got faster. If they lose, I don't know what I'll do. I'll that Monday I'll start doing the draft and everything, but I just can't see. If they were going to score 30 points, and I can't see them. I can't see Miami scoring a lot. If they get 10, if they get 21 points, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's always a very solemn, you know, journey after a loss, going into Google and looking in the second week of January at mock drafts on Bleacher Report and everything, just trying to find something to be hopeful about. But I don't think we're going to have to do that for a little while. There's definitely cause, you know, for optimism and for concern in this game. I mean, Big Ben got hurt last game and they lost, yes. But Big Ben got hurt last game because the O-line just could not protect him. I think this is a very different team, like you're saying, a different animal. You're saying, you know, are they that much better on defense that they can keep Ajayi, you know, under 100 yards? If you go and you look at his long runs, just the highlights, really, you will see, I mean, Anthony Ciccolo missing tackles. You'll see Vince Williams shooting the wrong gap. You'll see Robert Golden missing tackles. I mean, they were playing Tyler Matakavich in there because of all, you know, everyone being, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Too much heat, not a heat stroke, but
yeah.
Dehydrated
heat,
and heat exhaustion.
Heat exhaustion.
Right, that's what I'm looking
Timmons
for.
Was,
I mean, they had something like six or seven guys. I mean, Hargrave went out at one point. They didn't have Hayward. When you've got Ciccolo and Matakavich in there and Jarvis Jones and Golden, I mean, you're going to give up runs for sure. So I think this is going to be a very, very different game. I think they win this one comfortably. And if they don't, then even if they win, I know what you're saying, a win's a win, but I think you need to win this one comfortably. And I'm not saying to the point where you put Landry Jones in there or anything, but win this one comfortably, go into Kansas City and keep rolling. One thing I'm definitely going to be looking for is that fourth quarter. Last time we saw Ben was that fourth quarter against the Ravens game when he was hot. Can he continue that and extend that into the playoffs, or are we going to get up and down Ben? Because if, you know, the next games we're going to have to play, if we win this one, is both going to be on the road before we go, if we would go into the Super Bowl. So you can't have Ben throwing picks in our red zone like he did against the Ravens, against the Patriots team, or against the Chiefs team, and expect to just win every time. The defense cannot hold them to 3 points every time you turn the ball over. So can Ben heat up? Can he stay hot? Can he take this team and go out there and win it? I mean, against a depleted secondary in the Miami Dolphins, you would certainly hope so. So that is something I'm definitely looking for. I'm looking for the Marcus Ayers to possibly, you know, make a few plays with Ladarius Green out. They're going to need someone else. You don't know for sure that he's going to be out. I don't know if we talked about this. He practiced fully Wednesday and Thursday, sat out today, is now listed as questionable after not being cleared by the independent neurologist. So you would think he's going to try and get cleared again tomorrow, or else they would have just listed him as out or at least doubtful. So they're leaving the light on, but you're going to need Green for sure against Kansas City and New England. So things to look for, definitely something I'm looking forward to the most, is just watching Ben if he can get hot and kind of lead this team, you know. Any last thoughts on this one?
Hey, Matt, can I move a little?
Yeah, go ahead.
Matt, can you give me just a couple seconds to talk? I think more about Miami than I did the Steelers and everything. But the Steelers' defense, they're starting to get the sacks and everything. I think out of the teams, they have like 42 sacks, I think. Out of all the teams in the playoffs, they have the third most out of any of the teams. So they're starting to get to the Butler's dialing up something that they're getting in. And I think it is Dupree finally starting and James Harrison. They're getting a lot more pressure. And Sean Davis coming in. on those blitzes. So that's what it is on the defense. On the offense, like you said, we said about Bell, he's the second best running back in receiving yards, so they are going to hit him with some. And he is the first player, I think, ever to have like a 100-yard average rushing the ball and 50 yards receiving. Okay? He's been averaging 185 yards from scrimmage in the last six games. He leads the league in yards from scrimmage. I know it's the first time he's in the playoffs, but I think he's been waiting for that. You got Ben out there. To me, the playoffs are all about quarterbacks. And right now, I have Ben as the second best quarterback in the playoffs. I know Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, it's close for two. We got Brady one and them two. Like we said, Ben's at home. He is the best cold weather quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. I know Brady, but I think he is one of the best cold weather quarterbacks going up there and everything. The big three is going to come through. It comes down to our offensive line is better than Miami's defensive line. I know we're not going to have Green and everything. Brown's going to have a better game than he did the last time and everything. He's going to have to step up. I can't see them going deep. I would try to hit him with some short slants or something like that and let him run with the ball. So I think the offense, the big three, this is the time the stars have to step up. That's it. I'm off my soapbox.
Fred, last thought to you before we move on, bud.
Yeah, just to reiterate, like you talked about Ben being the best cold weather. Before the Raven game, Ben had the highest rating of any quarterback at home this year. And I know he threw a couple picks, but he also threw the three touchdowns. So I said, just to add on to what you said, Sable, that, yeah, Ben at home, this game, no way. And I'm so confident and so like you, I can't imagine losing, that if the Steelers do lose, it ain't going to happen. But if they do lose, I think it gets so upset, I might spit at a picture of Mariah Carey. That's what I would do if they lose.
Get a full Pac-Man, Jones.
I'm going to pull Pac-Man on Mariah.
You never do a full Pac-Man.
No. Not in the playoffs. So, yeah, they're going to win. They're going to win. There's no way. There's no way.
You know what I was just thinking, too? Give me one more second and everything. I think this cheerleading thing that Bradshaw galvanized this team, I really do.
Oh, I think it did. I think it did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did one that they've been talking. Every player has backed him. Cowher even came to his rescue and everything like that. But maybe that's win one for Coach T. Maybe this is, you know, the young defensive players and the big three on offense and everything. This might be what it's going to put them over the top. There's always a defining moment. We thought it was the Ben and A.B. spike. That would have been big if we'd have won at Dallas. And then the A.B., what they call it, the Immaculate Extension and everything. But I think the biggest thing is they want to win it for Tomlin because they like the guy. They want to give him, I think, maybe get him to the Super Bowl and quiet all these critics and everything. You know, these brain-dead, walking zombie Bradshaw-type guys.
Hey, yeah, what are the odds that this was Terry Bradshaw's plan all along and he was smart enough to work as a double agent to fire this team up? What are the odds on that one?
He ain't that smart.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Terry, I think he's still looking for that T to spell the cat, as Henderson told him. And just to touch, I know we're still going to Steelers here, but just to touch on what you said, Sable, I agree 100% that I think this helped galvanize him. And there was a clip, I don't know who put it up, it was a camera in the Steelers, underneath the stadium after the Ravens game, and the players are walking up the steps to go into the locker room, catching a lot of them. And some of them, you could see the camera, and you could hear a lot of what the players are saying. Some are just screaming, yeah, yeah. Vince Williams, the guy, I love VW. He's great on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's a great follow. He went right towards the camera and saw it, and he said, my coach ain't great. What? So you know they were fired up about it. They are 100%, if anything, it pissed them off that somebody took that shot at their coach. So, yep, I agree.
All right, guys. So, with that being the third wild card game, we still got one more to talk about. This is the Sunday night game, Sunday evening game, really, against New York Giants going in and taking on the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau. It's really a tale of offense versus defense in this one. Green Bay Packers, their strength being their offense. The New York Giants, their strength being their weakness, for sure. For me, it's a matter of which one do you trust. I trust the Packers offense a lot more, and I trust the Giants defense. I know they've got a good defense, but they've still lost some games with that defense. The Packers, I think, are on a 6-game winning streak ever since Rodgers said they were going to win out. He's playing as hot as any quarterback in the league right now, as hot as any player. He's gone from, you know, people thinking that he was on the decline to now throwing his name in there for NFL MVP. He's just playing tremendous, tremendous football. So I think you guys can see where I'm leaning with this one. I'm taking the Packers. But, Fred, who you got and why? New York Giants going to Lambeau, taking on the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, this is so good with these two teams. I mean, I know it's now and it's 2017, but when I think of the Giants and the Packers, I can think back to the 60s with Bart Starr in the late 50s, early 60s, and you had Y.A. Tittle and Frank Gifford and playing on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. These are two great, and how fitting that three of the royalty of NFL football, the Steelers, Packers, and Giants are in the playoffs. That's how it should be. Agree. As you said, the Packers offense, again, going by, I've been looking more recently at Football Outsiders, they are the fourth-ranked efficient offense, seventh passing, fifth rushing. The Giants, you don't even want to talk about it. they're 22nd offense. I will say their running game has picked up a little bit of late, and they've been using Paul Perkins, excellent rookie from USC. They're starting to run the ball a little bit, but it's not their offense that's going to get it done. But where they have Eli when he's hot, Odell Beckham, one of the best and most explosive receivers, with Sterling Shepard and Slot. The Packers' defensive backs, I think they're all a mash unit. I was watching the Sunday night game against Detroit, and they were dropping like flies. So that gives the Giants offense a little bit to go on because the Packers are weak there. And the Giant defense is, as you said, they are ranked second, fourth against the pass, third against rush. What told me a lot about them is last week, they went into Washington on the road again, a division game, in a game that the Redskins had to win. They win this, they're in. They control their own. It's not right saying their own destiny because destiny is not decided, but they control their own. They win, they're in. The Giants had nothing to play for. Win or lose, they're the fifth seed. The Giants went in and beat them. Not only did it tell me a lot about what the Redskins lack, it told me about a lot about what the Giants have. They went into Green Bay earlier this year. Both teams were different, and they lost 23-16. Your offense couldn't do it. This could go either way. I think this is besides the Steeler game, obviously, this is the most exciting game for me. I can't wait to watch. I think this should be a good game. I think it's going to be close. But I think Steve Spagnuolo, that guy on the Giant defense, he's got it dialed in. He's got them playing well. Their defense, since losing JPP, they've actually played better on defense. They're even playing more. That Landon Collins, we talked about him before the Steelers played him, so I won't go on too much. It could go either way. But I'm going to pick the Giants in a close one, 23-21 in Lambeau. I think they're going to pull the upset on this one. What do you think, Sable?
What did Matt pick? Did he already pick or he didn't pick yet?
I think he picked Green Bay. You're the deciding vote here.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers at home versus Eli. I think this might be the best game. I think it might be the closest game. I'm going to go with Green Bay just because they're at home. I think Green Bay right now next to us is the hottest team out there. We were doing our fantasy. We made the playoffs, and you get to pick 15 players. To see how far they go and see how many points you get for this, for the fantasy, and you can win some extra money and everything. And we picked that Adams, the wide receiver out of Green Bay. Yeah, as one of my 15 players. I picked a lot of quarterbacks, and I picked Rodgers, and I did pick Eli Manning too, and I picked Ben, AB, and Bell. I want to watch the Steelers because it's my team, but I think this might be the best game. I think it might be the closest game and everything. Two quarterbacks that, you know, have won Super Bowls. I think I'd rather have Green Bay just to see how far they go. I know we're going to talk about the Super Bowl, but I think it's going to be Green Bay against Dallas right before. And whoever wins that goes in the Super Bowl. Let's say, no, we'll wait. We'll wait to get into that. But I'm gonna pick Green Bay.
Two against one. How's that feel, friend?
That's quite all right. I've been outnumbered my whole life. I got two daughters against one of me. Usually you're on my side, anyway. Here at home, we got Christina and Kayla. Two females against me, so that's all right. I will point out, though, I do believe the last two times the Giants played the Packers in the playoffs, it was at Lambeau Field, and the Giants won both times.
Yep.
2011, they beat the Packers 37-20, won the Super Bowl. I believe 2007 is against Brett Favre, and he threw an interception in overtime. So I'll just say, for some, you know, I don't know. Sometimes you go back a certain number of years, but that's not the same player, so you can't. But Eli Manning was there both of those years. A lot of some of the same coaches were there. Some reason Lambeau Field doesn't quite seem to have, and Aaron Rodgers there in 2011, coming off one of his best years ever. After he won the Super Bowl in 2010, he had this fantastic year in 2011. So, I agree with Sable. I agree with what you said. I think it's going to be one of the closest games. And close. I, you know, obviously, it could go either way. But I have a feeling for some reason that we're going to have to see that stupid Eli face for more weeks than we want to. So
we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, so that will do it for our wrap-up of the wild card weekend. Going to get to a little bit of the need a lot of coaches firings coming out this week, and then we'll wrap up the show. Definitely want to get y'all's predictions for the two teams in the Super Bowl, who takes it, and also who is your NFL MVP for sure. I think that's how we'll close out the show, unless y'all have any last things to add on these wildcard games before we move on, Fred or Sabo.
As far as the wild card, we're all good.
All right, so
I got one thing, though.
First,
did I say the last time the Steelers in Miami, whoever won that game, it's been three times they've played each other in a playoff round, and each time the winner of that game went to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I know,
Matt,
maybe
that...
that up and everything. You don't trust me.
I trust you. Hey, I told you I had that dream like 2 months ago.
I know.
Going into the Super Bowl, and then for some reason,
yep,
characters from Harry Potter were in there, so if you guys see like wizards flying around, that is a good sign for our Super Bowl chances. All right, so moving right along, a little bit of Steelers news coming out with Alan Faneca being chosen as one of the Hall of Fame finalists. I believe he made it to the semifinalist last year, or in the finals last year, but he didn't get in. This could be his year. Hines Ward was left out of the finalists. But, I mean, if you look at the receiving classes that got in there this year, it was, I think Isaac Bruce got in there and Terrell Owens got in there. It was just a good receiving class for sure. So I think Hines Ward will get in there soon, but not soon, not this year. But this could be Alan Faneca's year after missing out last year. So it's good to see him right back in there for sure.
I think it'd be him against Jacoby. Him against Joe Jacoby would be Faneca or Jacoby. I think we'll get in the Hall of Fame. And when you're thinking of great wide receivers, are you thinking of Isaac Bruce comes to mind over Hines Ward?
I don't know. I don't remember sitting in front of me. I think Isaac may have put up a little bit better, you know, overall receiving numbers. And I think if you remember him at all, it's because the greatest show on turf. So he kind of has that attached to him. I never think of Isaac Bruce that way. He's certainly not, you know, even T.O., I think of him as more, even with his off-the-field stuff, and I think of him more than I do think of Isaac Bruce. Hines will just have to, again, the hard part of Hines is you look at him now and the way the receiver numbers keep going up. He's still good. He had, like, you know, 1,000 receptions. And I think you're right, man. I think he gets in. It's just, he has to wait a little bit. There's other receivers that have waited. And so it's really no knock on him that some of these guys deserve to get in. It's just he's only let in so many. And I think Faneca probably gets in. And I don't know if it, I don't know how much when they decide the final votes, but I will say if, it seems to me just human nature. You vote for if the Steelers advance far in the playoffs, if the Steelers get the Super Bowl, I think in a way, and you got Bettis, he's very vocal, and he's out there, and you see him, and he's talking, the Steelers get the Super Bowl, they run a game. I think that just kind of adds to Faneca a little bit. People, you know, having the Steelers out there, and then they're going to talk about him more. And to me, if anything, it just helps them. Maybe it shouldn't matter, but right? People being human. I think it helps them a little bit by having the Steelers if they get that far. But yeah, Faneca will get in it. I think maybe this year, if not, then certainly next year. So
yeah, I've got
the Hall of Fame Hall of Fame is the Saturday before the Super Bowl, and the Steeler writer that pleads for the Steelers, Zed Bouchette. And Isaac Bruce has 24 more catches than Hines Ward.
Oh, that's it?
20. That's it. I don't know about Owens.
Yeah. Hines Ward will get in there. There's no doubt. And I'm pulling for him in particular because I got a hat that I got signed by a lot of the 2008 teams. So I've got, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, Troy Polamalu, Hines Ward, James Harrison on there. You know, some other guys.
Nice.
I'm just trying to get them all in the Hall of Fame and make that thing worth some money for sure. Not that I ever sell it, but, you know, just rack up those Hall of Famers on there. So on the outside chance that Lima Sweet or Rashard Mendenhall gets in the Hall of Fame, I got those guys on there too. So I am well prepared.
I don't think they're the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't think so. But, all right, so moving on, before we end the show, going to wrap up, a lot of coaching vacancies are going to be available next year. Head coaches along with coordinators and assistant coaches. Going to run through these real quick before we end it. Colts, Indianapolis Colts are reportedly keeping their head coach and their GM. So Pagano and Gregson are not going anywhere this year after some were speculating they could be out. Redskins fired their defensive coordinator, Joe Barry. Chargers, of course, fired their head coach, Mike McCoy. Rex Ryan out of Buffalo. The interesting thing I thought with that was the GM, Doug Whaley, said that he was not consulted on the firing of Rex Ryan. he wasn't asked his opinion on it. He had nothing to do with the decision-making process. That's just coming straight from the owner. I mean, that would just surprise me because you're a GM. What's up?
Matt, that's just telling me, to touch on that, that somebody put this, and I agree wholeheartedly, that tells you one of two things when Whaley shared that. Either one, he has no power in the organization, if that's the case, or two, he's full of crap. It's one or the other. And either way,
he's getting fired.
When's he going to fire? And the fact that he's the one leading the search for the new head coach, the Bills, if they keep on this, they're still going to be without making the playoffs. They're awful. They're awful.
The only one they asked him about was Rob Ryan, maybe.
keep in mind, this is the same GM that drafted EJ Manuel. This was his guy, and he still has I don't know what this guy does. And it's funny, I mean, I told you guys before when the Buffalo Bills, you know, reporters and everything were interviewing Rex Ryan and talking to him. They were vicious with their questions. I can't imagine Tomlin being asked the questions that they do. And they gave it to Doug Whaley just the same way. I mean, they're saying, you know, they're asking him, you know, honestly, I'm just trying to figure out what your job is here, what for this team. And they were just going after him. And this Bills team, I mean, this just looks like a team in turmoil right now. It looks like they're parting ways with Tyrod Taylor. I mean, they went so far as the Buffalo Bills put out a highlight tape of their 2016 season. And they left Tyrod Taylor completely off of it. They didn't put him anywhere in the video. So it looks like they're just cutting ways. They're going to go out and find a quarterback unless they're going to try and roll with EJ Manuel. This just looks like a team in flux right now. But it's another team. Go ahead.
Doug Whaley was played for University of Pittsburgh. He was a defensive back. He got a job with the Steelers. And he went up there, and I think he brought Tom Donahoe. I think Donahoe brought him up there, and that's how he got the job. I think Donahoe was the general manager, and he brought Whaley up there. So that's when they got rid of Donahoe, I guess, in some way. They moved him up and everything. So that's how he got that job. But that's not something I'd say, you know. No one told me about this, and I wasn't consulted.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's just... It doesn't make much sense to me at all. Another team that's in some turmoil, of course, is the San Francisco 49ers. They have fired Chip Kelly along with Jim Baalke, their GM. And their owner, again, was asked, you know, why are you still here? What are you doing good for this team right now? And his response was, well, you don't fire owners. But, you know, maybe they should. I mean, the next head coach is going to be their fourth head coach in 4 years. Letting go of Harbaugh was maybe the biggest mistake that franchise have made in a while. In hindsight, I just don't understand it. What did you expect any coach to do in their first year with this team? You knew what Chip Kelly's plan was when you hired him. Clearly, unless you're delusional, you didn't think they were going to take you to the playoffs this year. So I don't know. The Bills and the 49ers, you got to feel bad for the fan bases for sure. We are so lucky. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Matt, say, we're just thinking of that. Would you agree that both the Bills and the Niners are in worse shape, not just record-wise, than the Browns right now?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I
absolutely.
Think so.
I mean, the Browns, I like Jackson. The Browns have a worse record, but they have set themselves up well with draft picks. I think they've got something like 5 or 6 picks in like the top 50 in the draft. I mean, they've got just a plethora of them overall. They have set themselves up well, whereas the 49ers and the Bills are just, I mean, they're in trouble. They need to find a quarterback. They need to find a coach. They need to find a system that works for them. It's just not good what's going on out there. But moving right along, a few more to get to. The Saints fire their assistant head coach / linebackers coach, Joe Vitt. And then, of course, Gary Kubiak retires as the Broncos head coach. quick question I want to get with you guys. Which one of these head coach vacancies is maybe the most enticing? If you're someone like Josh McDaniels and you hypothetically have your pick of the field, is it the Broncos? Is it the Rams? Where would you go? Where's the best situation?
Now, from the standpoint of where you're going to have probably the most likely immediate chance to win, to me, I think it's no-brainer, the Broncos, because they have a good defense. The defense wasn't quite as good, but they have a good defense. Simeon, I don't know that he's the guy, but you have Paxton Lynch with maybe a chance, and you'd have some injuries on offense. The only thing, though, that I would say that doesn't make it as attractive is they're keeping Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator, and he's good. He's fantastic, but a lot of times the coach, you want to pick your own guys, and so you're going to be stuck with that. So maybe you don't necessarily want that, or maybe you want to bring in your own. I mean, Tomlin worked for Tomlin with LeBeau, but I'm just saying it's attractive as the best chance to win right away, but you're going to be saddled with maybe something that isn't your choice. So after that, I don't know. I wouldn't want to go to the Bills or the Niners. We just talked about those dumpster fires.
The Chargers.
Maybe Jacksonville. I don't know. The Chargers, they don't know what they're going to do with their stadium. They don't know where they're going to be. I like some of the players they have. And I like their head coach, McCoy. I like that they got some guys on defense. They had so many injuries. Personnel-wise, I like Chargers. I don't know if I like their situation. I don't know if I like their owner so much, that Dean Spanos. But I'd probably – the other thing I'll mention quickly, you mentioned the Redskins fired the defensive coordinator. They also fired their strength and conditioning coach. And I saw Ryan Clark tweeted out, so what? The strength coach throws interceptions too? Like, why are you getting rid of him? But I guess they figured out the end. But anyways, yeah, that's my thoughts on the coaching.
The general manager or I was going to be the coach, I'd probably go with Denver first and then San Diego second. But remember, in Denver, you don't have a quarterback and you got to put up with Elway. So,
I wouldn't touch that Chargers job, though. I mean, with the potential move, not to mention, like you were saying, the Broncos want them to keep Wade Phillips. Well, the Chargers want whoever the head coach is to keep Ken Whisenhunt as their offensive coordinator. So, it's just going to be interesting. There's not too often that I can remember where you've got, what is it, 6 or 7 different head coaching jobs that could be changed. I mean, that's a good chunk of the team. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next year and if any of these teams can take that big jump that, you know, just adding a good head coach can definitely change. So moving right along as we get close to our time limit, Steve Smith, of course, retired along with Robert Mathis. I think both of those guys, maybe more so, I said definitely more so Steve Smith, have a shot at the Hall of Fame. Robert Mathis might be in the Hall of really, really good just because of all the great pass rushers that he played with during the same time. But, I mean, two great players for sure. Last bit of news, Cowboys defensive end Randy Gregory was banned for at least 1 year after still not being able to stay clean. He struggled with this throughout college and so far in the NFL. A lot of Steelers fans, I know behind the steel curtain, in those draft open threads, a lot of guys were pulling for Randy Gregory to be that pick. And hindsight, good job by, you know, our front office keeping away from that guy. And last bit of news, as Fred alluded to earlier, Pac-Man Jones was arrested earlier in the week. He was released from jail on Wednesday. Has not been released by the Bengals. Don't know if he will be, because Marvin Lewis apparently is just okay with having these kind of guys on the team. Jones apparently headbutted a man, poked him in the eye, spat on a nurse, kicked and headbutted an arresting officer. It's just a whole mess with Pac-Man Jones. And Pac-Man Jones' reasoning was, you know, it's not like I kicked their butts or I beat their butts or whatever. Censoring some words on here, but it's guy just should not be in the NFL and should not, you know, be getting paid all this money. Well, he's doing this in the off season, you know, his off season at least. So, just
you know what I think,
I
man.
Think,
they saw from TMZ, they just got latest some of the audio. Pac-Man apparently thought that the security guard was Joey Porter. So that's what set him off, I guess.
Don't you mean Jerry Porter?
Yeah, Jerry Porter.
Jerry.
That Jerry Porter's coming out of the field. Oh, Bengals gonna bungle. What are you gonna do? All right, guys. So that will.
You know that was a felony, spitting on the nurse.
Yeah, it was assault with a bodily fluid or something like that. Just you know something only Pac-Man would do. But I think that will wrap it up for this week of Black and Gold NFL recap. Any last thoughts before we sign off this week, guys, and we go and we watch some playoff football tomorrow?
I'll just say, shout out to Sabo. Be careful during the game. Don't get too excited because I don't want you to aggravate your injury. Sabo's nursing. He's got an air cast, so just be careful. Don't get too excited, and don't take any advice that we give you on your injury. That's all.
I thought it was an air guitar they were giving me instead of giving me an air cast. Are we going to do our Super Bowl picks or we don't have enough time or MVPs or anything?
We can wrap it up real quick. Super Bowl picks and excuse me at the same time and your NFL MVP.
Who's going? I'll leave you what. Super Bowl picks is going to be the AFC is going to be it's going to be the Steelers against the Giants in the Super Bowl, believe it or not. Yes. Steelers and Giants, first time ever. Yep, Steelers and Giants. And the MVP of the season is going to be – who I think is going to win or who should get it? I'm going to go with Matt Ryan. I'll go with Matty Ice. He deserved it. What do you think, Sable?
Yeah, I'll go with Matt Ryan, too, and I'd like it to be the Steelers versus Green Bay or Dallas and everything, but I think it's going to be New England against Atlanta and everything.
Ooh.
I just got a feeling about Atlanta and everything like that. Maybe it's Steelers
like Atlanta
against Atlanta. I went with Matt Ryan, too.
I like it. And speaking of sweep for the MVP, I'm giving it to Matt Ryan. I mean, this guy's played out of his mind. A lot of people want to give it to Tom Brady, but to me, if you miss four games and your team goes 3-1 without you, then you may not. I think Bill Belichick is the MVP of the Patriots, but you can't give it to him. So go with Matt Ryan. Super Bowl, I'm taking Steelers and the Packers and the Falcons. Thinking Steelers and the Falcons in the playoffs. I think that will be a heck of a game if it happens. So with that, I think it will wrap it up. I want to take this last bit of minute to say that this show is sponsored by Frank Walker Law, the top criminal defense firm to call in Western PA and West Virginia and home to one of the nation's top 10 or top 100 ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker. Check him out at frankwalkerlaw.com. All right, guys, so that will do it for this week of Black and Gold NFL Recap. And we'll tune in tomorrow and Sunday for some wild card football, and we will talk to you all next week. For Matt, Fred, and Sabo, see you next time.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas.
A little late on that, Fred.
Hey, I'm still living it.
All right, buddy.